The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Awesome. Good morning, everyone. How are y'all doing today? Awesome. So normally I have a stand and I have my iPad on it, but I watched the live stream last week. Nah, it's good. Because I saw what Jeremiah was doing. He was kind of holding it here. I'm like, well, if he can do that, I'm going to try it too. See how it works. So if I mess up and I fumble my words and lose my place, that's why. I'm trying something new today. But hello, everyone. My name is Pastor Christian. I'm from Central Baptist Church, and it is such an honor and a privilege and a blessing to be able to speak with you all here today at Remnant Church. So we are going to be continuing our series in idols, and our title is going to be Scroll or Seek, When Content Replaces Christ. And Peter was saying that Jeremiah and him are on the same wavelength, but this is actually my title, so I think you and I are on the same wavelength. So let's go ahead and dive in. But before we do, I want to hit the rewind button for a little bit to talk about what it means to have idols. What does idolatry mean? And Jeremiah actually kicked us off last week, and he gave us that definition. So idolatry is when anything, good or bad, is elevated above our relationship with God. It's when we look to anything other than Him to give us fulfillment, identity, joy, or security. And I love that definition so much because it's so simple and yet it hits so hard, so close to home. Because idolatry isn't, you know, building statues in your backyard and going out and like bowing down to it and praising it. Idolatry comes so much more closer to home than we might realize. It's when your heart says, if I just had that one thing, I'd be okay. It's when your calendar says, I have time for everything but God. Or it's when your emotions say, I find my joy in this, not Him. And here's the crazy thing, is that most idols actually don't start off as bad. Most idols start off as gifts from God. But when we turn these good things into little gods, so gods with a lowercase g, that's when things start to become a problem. And Pastor Jeremiah showed us last week that our idols don't necessarily start from the outside. They start from the inside. He brought up Ezekiel 14:3, which says, these leaders have set up idols in their hearts. They embrace things that will make them fall into sin. So that means that I can look perfectly fine on the outside. I can be serving in ministry. I can be leading. I can be posting Bible verses on social media, but on the inside, there could be something else sitting on the throne of my heart that is not Jesus. And the scary part is that idols can be sneaky. You usually don't even notice them until they've already stolen your attention, your affection, and your devotion. And so today, I want to keep the conversation going on idols. But I'm not going to stand up here and talk about your idols. I'm going to talk about my own personal idol. Because while it's easy to sit out there or stand up here and say, idols don't apply to me, you know, I'm not out in the backyard, again, bowing to some statue or praying to some other god. But again, idols feel different today. It could be success, relationships, money, even ministry can be an idol. But for me, my idol was content, and content as in movies, TV, just consuming things. And now these things aren't evil. Like if you like TV, if you like reading books, if you like watching sports or playing video games, etc., those can all be fun and creative and even inspiring. But when I look back on this past summer, I realized something. I realized that I wasn't just enjoying content in a happy and healthy way. I was consuming content like it was a never-ending buffet. And in the process, I was starving out my soul from what it actually needed most, which is time with God. And so this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about my struggle with idolatry this summer. And I'm also going to point to Scripture to see how we can break free from it after we recognize it, and how we can live a life that keeps God first. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about myself first, just to kind of put it into context, what my idol is, and then we'll move on to how we can defeat said idol of content. So I actually went to Chapman University for college, and I majored in screenwriting. And so I have like a love of stories. I basically spent 4 years of my life watching stories, analyzing stories, writing my own stories for the screen. And so I love story in all forms, in TV shows, video games, movies, books. And so this past summer, I had the goal of trying to read a series that I've been wanting to read since college. And it's basically a mix between X-Men and Lord of the Flies, which sounds crazy, and it is. And you know, this summer, I finally said, I am going to do it. I'm going to buckle down, and I'm going to read the series that I've been wanting to read since I was in college. And so I got the entire series on Audible, and I listened to every single book, so 6 books in this series, and that was nearly 70 hours of content. 70 hours. So to put that into context for maybe there are some nerds out there, I'm a nerd, I love the Lord of the Rings trilogy. So it's like watching the extended editions of Lord of the Rings 7 times in a row. It's basically 3 days of my life or more gone. I don't, math, it's probably more than that. 70 hours divided by 24. But anyways, but here's the thing. Like, I didn't just disappear into my headphones all summer long. I was actually hustling in my ministry. I kicked off summer by preaching a 6-week series on discipleship. And then after that, I prepared and directed our own VBS curriculum. And then after that, I took the youth group to summer camp. So from the outside looking in, it looked like a very productive summer. I was doing all the things that I was supposed to be doing. I was helping to point people to Christ. But the honest truth is that my time with God was really hit or miss this past summer, despite all the activities that I'd been doing. So I was opening my Bible and reading, but a lot of times it was just for preparation for what I was preaching on. And I was praying, but it was in the middle of all the hustle and bustle. So what I was missing was that personal, quiet, uninterrupted time from God. The kind of time where I'm not preparing for anyone else. The kind of time where it's just me and Him. And the reason I really felt uneasy about this is because this previous season, I had spent my times waking up, devoting my time to just spending time with God, not for content, not for preparation, not for ministry, just for me. And so, since this summer was so sporadic in my time with God, I felt like I was just cramming Him into all of the other spots in between everything else that was going on. And little by little, I felt more distant. I felt more detached from God because I was living off the stories in my head rather than living off of God's word. And again, content isn't necessarily bad. Some of it is. But books, movies, podcasts, they can all be good gifts. They can inspire. They can teach. They can entertain. But here's the truth. When a good thing becomes a God thing, like little g, it becomes a bad thing. How many of us can get lost in one more episode on Netflix? Or maybe it's getting lost in the 24-hour news cycle, just on repeat. That's what my papa used to do. He'd just sit there, watch Fox News hour after hour. I'm like, how do you do that? So depressing. Please don't. For some of us, maybe it's TikTok, sports, home improvement channels, Wordle, Sudoku, who knows? It all is content. And again, none of that is evil within itself. Because God actually wired us to enjoy entertainment and to be creative and to love stories. We see this in Scripture. So we look at Exodus 31, 1 through 5. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and carving wood. He is a master of every craft. So even back then, God filled people with the Holy Spirit and gave them the talent to create art, beauty. That's content. And God wanted us to create and to enjoy said stuff. But here's the point. God gives creative gifts to lead us to worship, not to replace him. Even Jesus himself told stories in the form of parables. He used narrative content to point people to the eternal truth of the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible itself is full of poetry, history, prophecy, letters. It's the greatest story ever told. Again, so content, creativity, stories are all good, and they are meant to push us back to him. But again, when we let that content replace God, that is when it becomes an idol. And idols will always, always, always let you down. And so, the first question becomes, how do we know when content has crossed that line into idolatry? How do we know when the good things we enjoy, the entertainment, the stories, how do we know when it becomes idolatry? And sign one is this, when it pushes out time with God. So let's be honest. Most of us don't wake up in the morning saying, you know what, God, you're just not as important to me today as you were yesterday. But we do say stuff like, you know, I'll read my Bible later on in the day, maybe after I watch my show or I scroll through Instagram or something like that. And then after a while, it just keeps on going and going until you realize that it's midnight and you're falling asleep with your phone on your face. But Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And so if you consistently have time for content in your life, but no time for God, that is a red flag. So I want you to ask yourself this. Do I carve time out and space out for entertainment, but not prayer? Does the plot line of your favorite TV show, like, do you know that better than God's word? If so, then content might have slipped into idol territory for you. And here's sign number two, when it becomes your escape. The second sign is when you turn to entertainment rather than God as your refuge. And Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. But for many of us, when times get stressful, we don't run to God. We run to YouTube or TikTok to binge a show. And again, there's nothing wrong with turning to content for entertainment, but when it becomes your escape, your refuge, and not Christ, that's when it becomes a problem in your lives. So the next time you get anxious or stressful or worried about something, I want you to notice what you do. Do you turn to your phone or do you turn to your Bible? Sign number three that content might become an idol for you is when it takes over your mind and your heart. Colossians 3:2 says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So maybe throughout the day you're thinking about the latest news stories or the latest TV show episode you just watched or that video game you can't wait to get home and play, rather than focusing on what God is calling you to do in your life. And it doesn't just stop with your thoughts. Content can start to shape your emotions as well. How many of you have been watching your favorite sport, your favorite team, and then they lose and your whole day is just ruined? So when content begins to pull your passion away from God, that can be a sign that content is your idol. And I want you to think about this. How many of you can sit through a 2-hour long movie perfectly fine, but struggle to find 5, 10, 15 minutes to pray or to dive into God's word? We can memorize all the stats from our favorite sports teams, plot lines to our favorite shows, song lyrics, but we can't even remember scripture. If content is consuming your thoughts, your emotions, and your passion more than Christ, that's a clear signal that something is off. So here's the diagnosis. Idols reveal themselves by who they replace. Idols reveal themselves by who they replace, and that who is God. So if content is replacing your time with God, your refuge in God, or your thoughts of God, then content has become your idol. And the scary thing is, we don't stop, or we don't realize this until we stop to notice and evaluate, until we ask ourselves these questions, such as, what do I do first when I'm stressed? What do I think about most during the day? What gets my best passion and attention? And if the honest answer is not God, then it is time for change. So the first step is recognizing the problem. And once we recognize it, we have to ask ourselves, what do we do about it? How do we break free from the idols of content in our life? The good news is that Jesus does not leave us high and dry. He says in John 8:36, "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." And so through scripture, he reveals how we can break ourselves and free ourselves from the idols of content. The first step is to, number one, repent. And let's be clear, repentance is not just feeling bad about something. It's not saying, yeah, I should probably do better next time. Repentance means stopping and turning away from the sin. It means killing the idol, as we see in Colossians 3:5. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Notice how Paul doesn't say manage it or to cut back time. He says to kill it, to put it to death. So repentance is ruthless honesty before God. It's saying, Lord, I've let content get in the way of my time with you. I've given you the leftovers rather than the best of me. And there's hope whenever you repent. 1 John 1:9 says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to understand us. Forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all wickedness." And that includes idolatry. That includes the nights that you've scrolled on your phones instead of praying. That includes, this one's a big one for me, or was, I've been working on it, the times where you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is pull out your phone, look at Instagram versus reading the Bible. Repentance is where freedom begins. Step number two is detox. So sometimes the only way to get rid of our idols, specifically of content, is to put a stop to it for a time. Because if idols are stealing your affection for God, you have to starve that idol and feed your soul. And going into this new season, that's what I had to do. Once I realized, whoa, I'm spending way too much time listening to Audible, YouTube videos, podcasts, things that were not God's word, I was like, I need to stop. And so instead of filling my mind with 70 hours of fiction, I started filling it with God's word. And when I decided to make this change, you know what happened? Whenever I started putting the Bible in my earbuds instead of these stories, I finished the entire Bible from front to back in 20 days. And now I'm not saying that everyone here has to like stop watching everything and stop listening to music and just listen to the Bible, you know, for hours straight. But maybe for you, it's deleting an app for a while. Maybe it's logging out of Netflix for a month. And maybe instead of picking up your phone first, it's like digging into God's word. Because the first step is detox. You have to stop. Like, you can't keep it going or it's going to consume your heart and your life. And then eventually we will have to reintroduce that stuff, because I doubt any of us here want to stop listening to music or, you know, watching their favorite movies. So we have to set some boundaries for ourselves, because if we don't set boundaries, then it'll creep right back into our lives. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12, "You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything." So detox and set boundaries for once you do introduce it back into your life. But there is one more step: replace. So repentance is not just subtraction, it's replacement. We see in Ephesians 4:22, it says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." That's the rhythm: to put off, to be renewed, and to put on God. So when you turn off the content, when you detox, don't leave a void. You should be filling it with God's presence. So Bible before phone, prayer instead of scroll breaks, worship instead of whoever or whatever else you might be listening to. And don't just replace these disciplines on your own. Replace it with community. James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." So tell someone about your struggles with idols. Ask for prayer. Let people check in on you. Hold each other accountable. Because idols will lose their power if you bring it out and drag it into the light. So here's the process for defeating the content idol. Step one is to repent. Be honest with God and change your direction. Step two is to detox. Starve the idol for a season and set boundaries or limits before it starts to creep back in. And then step three is replace. Fill the void with God's presence and invite others to help you to stay free. This is how you defeat the idol of content. And you know, we've looked at what the idol of content is and how to see if it's ruining your lives. And now the question is, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Because I'm sure as I've been preaching this morning, some of you have thought, you know what? I am putting my time and effort into other things other than God's word. And I want to just let you know this, that God doesn't expose idols to shame you. He exposes them to free you. And I'll end with this. 1 John 5:21. It says, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." And can we get the pad playing for a little bit, actually? The loop, the sound. So I want to ask you guys something this morning. Thank you. Appreciate it. We're wrapping up. I want to ask you this morning, what do you need to surrender in your lives? As I've been preaching about this content of idols, what is your idol in your life right now? Are you guys spending more time in things of this world rather than things of the Word of God? And if so, I'm going to ask you to take action this morning. I don't really know how it happens at this church, so I'm going to take a little book out of my church. I hope you all don't mind about that. But, you know, listening to a message and having it go in one ear and out the other isn't really how we change. Like I said, repentance and all that takes action. So this morning, I'm going to ask you all to maybe get out of your comfort zone for a little bit. And I completely understand if you don't want to, but I'm still going to offer the opportunity. So if God has laid something on your hearts that you need to surrender to Him, if God is like, hey, you're spending way too much time doing this when you should be spending more time with me, I want to give you all the opportunity to come up to this altar and just surrender it to God. You know, this is something that I did at the beginning of summer where I preached on discipleship, and I taught how being a disciple of God is not passive. Being a disciple of God is following Jesus, and following doesn't mean sitting in your chairs on Sunday morning just listening to a message. Following means listening to God's word and doing what He says to do. And so I asked everyone in the congregation, I'm like, if you want to be a true disciple of God, if you want to follow Him, then symbolize that by taking action and coming up to the altar and just praying and surrendering to God and letting Him know, I want to follow you. And so this morning, I'm going to do something a little bit similar to that. So yes, we should want to follow Jesus, and that's the call to action that I gave at my church. But in this instance, I want you to come and be like, God, whatever you laid on my heart, whatever is my idol, I am going to come here and take that first step of repentance by just praying and surrendering it to you. And if you want to pray with me, you can. I'll be up here. But it's more so just get alone with God and be like, God, this is what I struggle with. I'm giving it all to you. So as we start our worship and as we play this next song, I encourage you all to come up and to just start to kill your idols. Don't let them take hold of your heart. Bring them out into the light so that they can start to die. Show Jesus that He means more to you than your favorite TV show characters, your favorite book, your favorite music, any of that, whatever might be replacing God's time in your life. So as we start the worship, I just encourage you all to come up. And if you would like to pray, I'm here for you. I don't know your names, all of you. I'm sorry, but I would gladly pray for you, or just get alone with God. Thank you so much, and God bless. Dear God, I pray that as we go into this time of worship, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just start to stir in this church's heart, God. And if there are any idols that you've laid on their hearts, whether it be content or something else, God, wherever that might be, I pray that you would give them the courage and the strength to come forward and say, God, I want to put you first in my life. Because the truth is, everything that we hold true in this world that is not God is going to fade away one day. It is not lasting. One day we will all leave this earth and we cannot take anything with us. Everything that we fill our minds with and our hearts with, apart from God's word and truth and love, is not going with us when we get to heaven. And so I pray that this morning at Remnant Church that we would just take that first step of killing our idols by coming up to the altar and surrendering that struggle to you, God. Let that be the first step. And help us as a community here, God, as a local body of Christ, to help each other to kill our idols so that we can put you first, so that we can serve you to our fullest capacity, God. Just thank you so much for your love, for your grace. And I just praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You filled out.